Grace, mercy, and peace be to you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Tonight we're going to continue looking at that ancient hymn that we just sang, O Love, How Deep. And tonight's an opportunity to ponder the nature and the scope of God's love for us in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, brothers and sisters in Christ, from the Holy Scriptures, it's revealed that the essence of God's character is self-giving. God does nothing for himself, right? His nature is not to serve his own end, some purpose that is hidden in him alone. Rather, God's character is self-giving. It is other-oriented. Or if you prefer to put it another way, God is love. That's why stanza 3 of our hymn includes the phrase, for us, which is repeated over and over. The phrase is pro nobis in Latin. We know it best perhaps from the Nicene Creed, right? We confess, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven. Right? The incarnation is for us. His salvation is for us. He is love enacted and enfleshed for us. From the Creed, which captures the essence of the Scriptures, we start to see that everything God does, he does for us. Our Lenten hymn reflects these scriptural and creedal themes as well. Stanza 3 highlights four things that God does for us. And that's what we'll look at for tonight. The first pro nobis is baptism, our Lord's baptism. We sang, for us, baptized. Why was Jesus baptized? Wasn't John in the river calling sinners to repent? In Mark's gospel, we don't get the answer. We only hear that Jesus went down from Nazareth and was baptized by John. But if we read Matthew's gospel, we hear that Jesus was baptized to fulfill all righteousness. Righteousness. It means that Jesus has completed all the demands of the law. He has faithfully and fully done all that God's law requires. The law demands that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And then to love your neighbor as yourself. Well, Jesus did that. Faithfully, fully, and finally. Because Jesus is baptized and fulfills or completes all the law's demands, this makes him to be the perfect sacrifice for our sins. Though he has no sin of his own, he bears ours, and then has it put to death with him on the cross. He is buried in our tomb, and yet on the third day he is raised from the dead for us and for our justification. Christ lives, Christ reigns, the Lamb who was slain has begun his reign. He was baptized for us so that when you are baptized into Christ, you are baptized into his death. And also his resurrection. Your sins have been washed away in that lavish and gracious flood that unites you to the righteous Christ. All that is his is now yours. Because of Christ, you have been declared righteous. Because of Christ, you are innocent and holy. You are perfect in God's sight because of Jesus. Now, Jesus didn't need to be baptized to wash away his sin. Rather, he was baptized for us so that we would receive the forgiveness of sin and everlasting life in his name. It was for us. The second pro nobis is, for us he bore his holy fast and hungered sore. You read in Mark's gospel, what we read tonight, Jesus is not merely led into the wilderness. No, the Spirit drives him, casts him out into the wilderness. You get the sense in stanza 3 that Jesus is on the move. He is baptized for us, and now he bears this hunger for us. He undergoes this trial for us. For 40 days, he eats no food. He lives not by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Though his body may have been weakened from a lack of food, he certainly was not rendered weak or disabled. He keeps the fast, so that as he meditates on God's word, he prays for you. When our flesh desires to be satisfied, and our own prayers falter, Christ Jesus fasts and prays for us so that we might be strengthened, encouraged, and enabled also to fast and to pray. He does this for us. The third pronobis is for us, temptation sharp, he knew. Now, knowing temptation is a hard thing for us to really understand. The fact of the matter is that we simply are tempted by Satan, the pleasures of this world, and the weakness of our flesh. Jesus knows temptation. Jesus, in fact, is tempted. But he does not give in to temptation. Where we fall into temptation, Jesus never does. Where we sin, Jesus does not. But Jesus was tempted for us. Why? Well, the author of Hebrews puts it this way. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. In his incarnation, Jesus takes on our human flesh and blood. He is tempted like us, even more than we could possibly fathom, so that he can be our way out when we are tempted. He is our helper. He is our rescuer. He is our Savior. Being tempted like we are, yet without sin, means he knows us, our weaknesses, our struggles, but is powerful to save us in the midst of all of them. He is gracious and merciful, strong to save. For us, Jesus suffers in temptation, just like we do. Meaning that Jesus knows the pain, the sorrow, the anguish, and everything that surrounds temptation to sin. He knows it as well as you do, in fact, better than you do. And that this is not some intellectual knowledge. He knows it body and soul, every fiber of his being, because he has lived it. He did this for us. Our fourth and final pronobis in the hymn is, for us, the tempter overthrew. Temptation's not some abstraction. It's not an idea that we think about. Temptation comes from the tempter, Satan. He makes use of the joys and the pleasures of the world around us. He targets the weakness of our flesh. But Jesus overcomes temptation and the tempter. He does it not by being God, but by being man and listening to the will of the Father. He knows the law of God and meditates on it day and night. He knows what it is to live by the word of God, not simply by bread, when his flesh is weakened, tempted to turn stones into bread. He knows not to put the Lord to the test. And he certainly knows to worship God alone. This word of the Lord was spoken for us and for our sake, not for God's. Jesus is the true man. That man as man was intended to live. But because of our sin and giving in to temptation, we have not lived as we were called to. Another way to think about it is this. Jesus lives and he acts as Adam was meant to live and to act from the beginning. He listens to the Father. He does the Father's will. He is righteous. Not so that he can stand above us and condemn us, but so that he might actually save us. He is truly man as man is intended to be, so that he may save us from sin, death, and the power of the devil. We see this in our series hymn, of course. But the closing hymn that we'll sing tonight, A Lamb Goes Uncomplaining Forth, it also paints a beautiful picture of this concept. The third stanza in particular is beautiful. It's a conversation between the Son and the Father, and then a wonder of this love for us. Yes, Father, yes, most willingly, I'll bear what you command me. My will conforms to your decree, I'll do what you have asked me. O wondrous love, what have you done? The Father offers up his Son, desiring our salvation. O love, how strong you are to save. You lay the one into the grave who built the earth's foundation. What a wonderful reflection of what God reveals to us in the Holy Scriptures. God is self-giving, which is the essence of his character and nature. God is love, pure, unadulterated love. And his love for us knows no bounds. His love extends into the grave itself. He will raise us out of death and the grave to life everlasting. That is what pronobis for us really means. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, who does all things for us.